yeah.
The Morton Podcast. We're doing it live.
We're doing it live.
Welcome back.
You know what that's from, right? We're doing it live?
No.
That's Bill O'Reilly. It's a Bill O'Reilly rant. Where he's not happy with the producer because the teleprompter's messed up. And so he just, like, him, he's dropping F-bombs left and right. He's just, it's like they caught him on camera. He didn't realize he was on camera. They were trying to film a spot. And he just got so angry, like,
Evan, we're doing it live. We're doing it live.
And he just screams. And so anytime I...
Never thought.
I'll show it to you. It's pretty nice.
I'm probably on it. You can see it for me.
Yeah.
I got the live version.
It's actually not quite as entertaining when I do it.
All right.
But we are live once again. It's been a little over a year. Can you believe that?
Really?
Well, I mean, it's actually only been about 24 hours.
Not even that long.
Okay. Yeah, but we did the Halloween show over a year ago. That was the last one we did. It's been a long time. We've got a lot going on.
Yes.
But glad to be back. Live on the air. All three of us here.
Again.
Well, that's good stuff. So we're talking a little bit of Hollywood gossip, I think, and then kind of get into the topic for tonight. Sitcoms. Top 10 sitcoms of all time?
Yeah, I think sitcoms maybe in general.
Yeah, it's good stuff, right? Yeah. Everybody likes a sitcom, except for the people that don't.
A few people who don't like sitcoms.
And they're probably not listening to the show anyway.
That's okay, too.
So that's good stuff. So the third listener over there rolling around on the floor. She's actually rolling around on the floor.
I can't see her.
So
it's okay.
What was the Hollywood gossip you had? What was the Hollywood gossip I had? Kaylee Cuoco.
Kaylee Cuoco. Yeah. That she went out somewhere with Johnny Galecki, and now they're talking about them seeing each other, dating, reconciling.
It was a big
relationship
deal
they had years ago.
Right, because they were.
Now that she's divorcing her husband.
Yes. Yeah. So
Want them to get together.
It's not that I want them to get together. I just think that that's the way it'll end up. Whether it's a they're comfortable with each other. They did some weird like picture thing with a fist bump that was supposed to prove that they were just friends. And I'm not buying it. I'm sorry. You and I fist bump all the time. And
we're not friends.
But you say he's just a friend. And I'm more than a friend.
So you say.
We're not friends? Does this mean that we're not friends anymore?
Well, I don't understand the fist bump thing.
I don't either. I mean, supposedly that people who fist bump are just friends. They can't be lovers. Why does that word wig you out so much?
I think when people say, like, introduce people like, hi, this is Steve. He's my lover. I think that's disgusting.
Yeah, especially if Steve isn't your lover.
I mean,
Lod, that's for sure.
I just think that's a...
Oh, and by the way, my name's Brian.
Right. I just think that's a gross way to introduce somebody. I mean...
Gross?
I don't know. Maybe there's a better way to describe that. How about the man I'm seeing, my boyfriend, my gentleman,
gentleman.
My lover? I mean, come on.
This is my man friend?
I don't know. My lover is just...
Grosses you out.
It does.
Yeah, I get that. So how do you think Kaylee Cuoco introduces herself, Johnny Galecki?
This is Johnny. It doesn't take any more introduction than that.
He's just my heterosexual man friend.
Right.
Whom I fist bump.
Right. I mean, he needs no further introduction. It's Johnny Galecki.
The dog really wants to be a part of the show.
Right. She's our dog.
Yeah. So anyway, they had her pictured in short shorts and out with Johnny Galecki and her sister.
Right. And that's fine. They've been friends for years.
They've been coworkers for years.
Right. I don't think that you automatically have to jump to, you know, now they're
in bed, I think is the end of that sentence.
I don't think you have to jump to they're in a relationship, a romantic relationship.
No, I just, I don't know. I mean, I don't mean you.
I mean, you know.
No, I'm not involved with any of them. No. Kaylee, Johnny, or her sister. Because I've never met any of them. They might be really nice people. I have no idea. The show's taking a really weird turn. First show back. It's already odd.
Yeah.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. So what are we talking? We were going to talk sitcoms tonight, right?
Right.
Favorites. So we have a couple of lists.
Mm-hmm.
You have your list. I have my list.
Right.
You want to start with your list? What was your list?
Well, I have a couple lists, actually. I have greatest sitcom characters of all time. I have top 10 sitcom families, which kind of goes into the conversation. But one of the things when I was researching sitcom families, I found this paragraph that leads into the sitcom families. And it says, throughout the years, sitcoms have come and gone, but one thing that stays with you is a sitcom family from your childhood. Sitcom families have changed and developed more than anything else among shows. A sitcom family can alter the experience of growing up for a viewer. It can teach an audience lessons or can be a generational icon. It can spark arguments, laughter, tears, and inspire real life lessons. Maybe it just provides 30 minutes a night that a real family sits down together to do something. Either way, sitcom families become part of our families in some small way. When I read that last night, I started to think about it. Because that's one of the things I did with my family. We sat down and we watched sitcoms together. And growing up, we sat down with our kids and we watched sitcoms together. And again, we said at the top of the show that I know people who don't like sitcoms for whatever reason. And that's fine. But one of the sitcoms that's on my list as a favorite of mine, I like because we were talking earlier about how it's relatable for me, and I think for both of us. And as we go through this list of sitcom families, one of the things that I have found is that sitcoms over the years have become less and less relatable because the families are just, they become kind of out there. They become watered down. They become cartoon versions of who we are today. And they're just.
Yeah, and I think
I don't enjoy watching.
I don't necessarily disagree with that. I think that there are certainly exceptions. The shows that have been around for quite a while now. I know Modern Family is one of the ones that kind of sparked the discussion before we went on air. I think that a number of years ago, one of the families, the sitcom families, I think that kind of pushed the envelope was Married with Children.
Right. That's on this list.
And how Married with Children kind of started getting into that characterization or that cartoonish version of what family was versus some of the shows that had come before it.
Right.
Because even you go all the way back to, like All in the Family, which isn't necessarily a snapshot of family life in America for everyone. because it had some cartoonish pieces of it. You know, Rob Reiner's character to me was kind of the buffoon. The main character was kind of the buffoon, but there was still some, it was still kind of based in reality on some level. And so it was very relatable, because I know All in the Family shows up on a lot of lists.
It does, you're right.
But I think as we got into the 80s and certainly the 90s, I think sitcoms had I think probably in an effort to distance themselves from the really great half-hour comedies that had come before it, because you can't do some of the ones that we'll talk about that I know that are on the list. You can't do it over and over again and still expect it to be successful. You have to do something different. But then you risk it being just a cartoon of what real life is. So
right. And I think not long ago, you and I were sitting down with the TV on and we weren't at liberty to change the channel. We were watching a sitcom about a family situation and it was just horrible.
Right.
I mean, it was...
The Goldbergs, right?
Well, I think there was one on that was before that as well, but it was unwatchable for both of us. And I just thought, wow. And it's not the first season that show or those shows had been on. I just was so surprised that that's what people are watching now and that's what they find funny or entertaining.
Right.
And there are other sitcoms that are on that are dumbed down for the viewers.
Yeah.
That, you know, it doesn't, you just kind of have to turn your brain off to watch.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about potty jokes. I'm not talking about like that kind of humor. I just mean that there's just, you don't get anything out of it.
Right.
You just, it's just a mindless 30 minutes. And I guess that's okay for some people. But when that seemed to have been all that's out there, when you scroll through all the channels, and that's really all that they're marketing, all that they're showing you, all that they're offering you, I was really disappointed.
Yeah.
You know, didn't used to be like that. And, you know, this top 10 sitcom families, number 10 on this list is Leave It to Beaver. And which was a great show. I loved Leave It to Beaver growing up. And I watch it now, you know, when it comes on, you know me and anything, it's black and white, I'm going to watch it. You know, that's the reality, people. But Leave It to Beaver, there's always a lesson in there. There's always something that you're going to learn when you watch the show. And a show like that really wouldn't make it today because people aren't going to tune in. They don't care about that. And Modern Family is probably the closest thing to that. And you and I watch that and love that show. And there's a whole lot of humor and great timing and wit. And my gosh, Lily, they get that child for a six-year-old has the greatest comedic timing I have ever seen for a child, you know? But Leave It to Beaver, you know, that's what it was. It was a family with, you know, Beaver would get into some kind of shenanigans and then they'd kind of reel him in and say, Beaver, this is the lesson and you're going to take your lumps and we're going to take this away from you. And these are the hard lessons that wouldn't make it today.
Yeah. You know? I don't disagree with that, but see, I don't find Leave It to Beaver entertaining in part because it's so predictable and that predictability drives me nuts.
But did you grow up watching it?
No, I had seen it a number of times growing up because they've never stopped replaying it.
Right.
You know, out here in California, Channel 5 has replayed Leave It to Beaver forever. So I've seen a number of episodes. I've seen enough episodes to know I don't enjoy it. And because it's predictable, that's one of the reasons why, I mean, you and I talked about this before, and I know this will be like a knife to your heart, but why I really don't enjoy I Love Lucy.
Right.
Because I know what's going to happen,
mm-hmm.
you know. Now, there are some episodes where even when you know what's going to happen, it's just downright hilarious. Just
right.
because she was just so great at holding the laugh. yeah, it just wasn't, it was too predictable for me. I knew that, you know, they kind of set it up to be the point where, you know, it was a birthday party and Lucy was going to invite everybody or, you know, whatever the shit was going to be.
Sure.
And I can't, I just don't enjoy the predictability of it. Now, for me anyway, her show holds up more so than like Leave It to Beaver, just because I think that the writing was superb for the time. Even for now, the writing was superb, and it was more in the execution than anything else. They just had the perfect cast. They had the four principals, and it was just the perfect cast for what they were doing. And even for me, someone who doesn't really enjoy the show, I can appreciate that they could probably do that show today with really minor tweaks and still, I think it would be successful on some level. I think it would still get laughs. It may not be the monster hit that it is because of when it started.
Right.
But, you know, I appreciate that show for paving the way, if you will. So why don't you get to one of your lists?
Okay. So greatest sitcom characters of all time. Number 10, George Jefferson. Started on All in the Family, and then his spinoff was The Jeffersons.
Well, he was moving on up.
He was. Number 9, Arthur Fonzarelli. Fonz.
Yeah, that's funny too, because in doing some of the research and some of the conversations that we were having yesterday, Happy Days completely slipped my mind as being one of my favorite sitcoms of all time. And they went through a really weird period with like laugh track, no laugh track, that kind of thing. But yeah, Fonzie's the coolest.
Yeah. And funny enough, you know, that jumped the phrase or that coined the phrase jumping the shark,
right?
You know, cause they did that in the episode and then it became like all TV shows, you know, okay, they're going to finally jump the shark because they're at that stage now where nothing's working.
Right.
Number 8, Homer Simpson, The Simpsons.
Oh!
Number 7, Fred Mertz, I Love Lucy. You know, I know you're not a big Lucy fan, but it's very telling that show is still on 65 years later.
Oh, I don't disagree with it.
I know. Oh, I know.
Yeah, I mean,
I mean,
she's single-handedly the greatest female
comedian.
On television. Yeah. I mean, single-handedly
has paved the way for,
because you look at any of the female comedians that have come on television after, and they all owe their position to Lucille Ball.
Yeah.
Whatever it is that they're doing, because Lucy was Lucy. I mean, I get it.
And Fred was just a great character.
Well, he was grumpy as hell.
Oh, what?
I mean, Grumpy's funny, which is why I'm hilarious.
Yeah. Well, back to Fred. Number 6, Mary Richards, The Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Is that Mary Tyler Moore's character, Richards?
Mary Richards.
She was great, too.
Yeah. I watched the show. We talked about this last night. I wasn't a huge fan of that show. It was okay. You know. It was a big thing because she was you know, making a living on her own. You know, she was living by herself. She was, you know.
Right.
Women's lib thing.
Pre-Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah. So, at the time, I really couldn't relate to it.
Sorry, I got to get my laughs in where I can get them.
Number 5, Ralph Cramden, The Honeymooners.
Yep. Oh, Honeymooners. So, we were talking Honeymooners. They were on for one season. They were on for 39 episodes. That's it. 39 episodes of The Honeymooners.
So originally you said one season. And then my research said 1951 to 1955.
Yeah. They weren't on. And I didn't see what years. I think it was just, would you say 51?
51 to 55.
I think it was 51 to 52. And that was it. All I know,
because 39 episodes, that's too much for one year.
Right. That's what I mean. So I think it was on for a full season and then came back
oh.
for for more episodes.
So maybe 2 years if you want.
Essentially, but not 2 full years. Mm. Really weird, but 39. And according to the thing that I wrote, that I read, they call him the classic 39. That, you know, really the show didn't need more than 39 episodes because it was just so great.
Right.
And they still, I mean, think about it. They still play that show like crazy now too, like MeTV and things like that. And they only had 39 episodes. I mean, they're just playing the same. I mean, they do that with NCIS on USA anyway. They just play the same episode like 500 times and then you're good. But I was expecting a little more from you, but
I was going to wait till you finished talking so that I could laugh because
that's why I have artificial intelligence.
Number 4, Fred Sanford, Sanford and Son.
Never watched it.
I was going to ask if you ever watched that show.
I could whistle the theme song for you.
You don't need to. Just let us keep going. Number 3, George Costanza, Seinfeld.
Can't stand ya. He's what, number 3?
Number 3.
I get that.
Yeah.
Larry David's show is supposed to be hilarious too, Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have HBO, so there goes that.
Yeah. I think it would be tough. You know, you do a show like Seinfeld and it's so wildly successful. Like we were talking about this last night or this morning, actually. And then you go off and you do something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't make a perfect baby and then try and have another one.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
it's hard. You got to take a break.
Yeah. But there's still so much creative talent. And Julia Louis-Dreyfus has found success. I mean, her show, New Adventures of Old Christine.
That was good.
Old Adventures of New Christine. What was it?
The New Adventures of Old Christine.
Right.
I like that.
That was on for a number of seasons.
Yeah.
It struggled. It didn't really find
it.
Yeah, but that's not saying it was successful. I mean, that's not an indicator, Nielsen.
Oh, my. Get that knife out of my back.
There's a sucker born every minute.
Yeah.
All right, number 2.
Number 2, Archie Bunker, All in the Family.
Yeah, not really a show that I watched. But, I mean, a part of it, too, is that it was kind of before my time, you know.
Right.
I was just a wee lad.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. I get it. Number 1.
Lucy Ricardo.
Oh, God. I get it. I really do. I mean, you don't have, and there is not another character in a 30-minute sitcom that is as absolutely iconic as Lucy.
Now, what I thought was very
male or female
is that there's 10 characters on this list, and 2 of them are from her show. There's only 4 characters on her show.
That's because you have some explaining to do.
I didn't write this one. I mean, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. It's a great show. Just not my thing. Right. I actually enjoy Ricky singing more than I enjoy
Little
the
Ricky's.
Show. Little Ricky's.
He can jam on those little bongos.
No, Desi Arnaz. Because I dig the lounge style from that period.
Right.
And I really enjoy his, you know, I would probably enjoy the variety show that they did more than I Love Lucy. Because I'm kind of lukewarm on Lucy. I mean, you know, I don't love her. She's aight.
I'm starting to get that. It's all right.
All right, so that was what? Top 10 characters?
Greatest sitcom characters of all time.
Greatest sitcom. See, now Fred Mertz being in there does kind of surprise me.
Fred had some great, great lines, and you hear me repeat them around this house all the time. I'm always dropping Fred on you.
I mean,
always.
You think Fred Mertz was better than Barney Fife?
Yeah, because Barney is a there's not like Barney lines. There's just Barney,
well, yeah,
like isms. Hey, Andy. I mean, that's like the one line. That's just what he does. But
I mean, he's a character.
The writing on the I Love Lucy show was just great.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that I would pick Fred Mertz over Barney Fife. And I'm not.
Well, then you'd be wrong.
Okay.
Let's just say that right now.
And I'm not.
You know how I know that? Because I have seen
all. We've been
of
married
Andy
for
Griffin,
so long.
And I have seen all the I Love Lucy, so I can make
even the lost episodes.
That's right.
I'm not any bigger a fan of the Andy Griffith Show than I am of I Love Lucy. I just think Barney Fife would. I think he'd at least be in the running.
That's okay. Maybe he's number 11. Maybe I would replace him from.
I'm surprised that Cliff Huxtable's not on that list.
I would maybe remove somebody from this list.
Who would you remove?
You want me to name names?
I want name. Oh, the pressure of a name.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Nobody listens to the show anyway. I mean, what, you're going to be held accountable for dropping who off that list?
That's tough because I wasn't such a fan, but I'd probably give Mary Richards the boot.
Ooh.
See, now you're giving me grief.
No, I'm just saying so much for girl power. I mean,
well, I'm not a feminist, so now we're going to lose all listeners.
We're going to lose listener.
Like I said, I couldn't relate to her, you know. So she had a job in an apartment, and she threw her hat in the air. Okay. Wasn't my cup of joe. I would put somebody else maybe in that spot.
Who? All right, you think about it.
I'll think about it.
I have.
While I try and find somebody to replace the listeners we lost.
I'm going the opposite direction.
Okay.
A little bit. I am going. From a list that was actually the top 25 worst sitcoms ever.
Oh, but you're giving us the top 10.
But I'm just gonna go with the top 10.
Good, because you're probably gonna break my heart with 15 of from 11 to 15.
Yeah, you know what? They're the probably shows that you watched. All right, number 10. Ready?
I'm ready.
A show I don't remember.
Okay.
Double Trouble.
Who's in it?
Two twin girls. I didn't write down their names.
As long as they weren't our daughters.
They didn't mean anything to me. The show was on 84 to 85.
Now we've lost those listeners.
Double right, Trouble.
Okay.
Surprisingly, that was on. This is from popcrunch.com. So, I mean, it could be one guy, you know, that just has an agenda. Who knows?
Okay.
Number 9, Perfect Strangers.
That was a great show.
It was on from 86 to 93.
Yeah.
That was
my cousin Belky.
I never enjoyed that show.
Yeah.
Bronson Pinchot, Mark Lynn Baker, 86 to 93.
Yeah, I love my cousin Belky.
Yeah. Number 8, My Two Dads.
That was a cute show.
87 to 90.
Did you watch these shows? Are you familiar with these shows?
My Two Dads. Perfect Strangers. Let me see here. Perfect Strangers I didn't watch. I'm familiar with it. My Two Dads. I think you and I watched that a couple episodes. Hold on real quick. I can't do two things at once.
Let's see. I'm going to scroll. While you do that, I'm going to scroll down top 10 sitcom families. 10 was Leave It to Beaver. 9 was Married with Children. 8 was Family Ties.
Yeah. Alex P. Keaton, baby.
Mm-hmm. Everybody Loves Raymond. No. 8 was Family Ties. 7, Everybody Loves Raymond. 6, The Brady Bunch. 5, Family Matters. 4, The Cosby Show. 3, Boy Meets World. Did you ever watch that show?
Boy Meets World? No.
Neither did I. 1993 to 2000. Never saw it one time. Number 2 was Full House. And number 1 was actually a tie. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and Modern Family.
For top, what was the heading again?
Sitcom Family.
Oh. I wasn't a big Fresh Prince of Bel-Air fan either. I don't know. Just something about them. I have commitment issues with television anyway.
I know you do. But it's interesting that Ed O'Neill makes the list twice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that is, he's been on 2 really good programs.
Yeah, but you would have thought that after Married with Children, you know, I mean, that was wildly successful.
And Modern Family is even more so.
My point is that you would have thought that after that, he kind of would ride off into the sunset and he would be done. And then here comes Modern Family. Like,
yeah, but I think that's a,
I mean,
good,
that's just amazing.
That's a good indicator that you know, you can capture lightning in a bottle.
Absolutely.
You know, or twice or whatever the saying is, because mm-hmm. I don't know what the saying is. All right,
okay,
back to my list. We were at Double Trouble. We had Perfect Strangers, My Two Dads.
Right.
87 to 90. That's 3 years. That's a pretty good run.
Oh, I thought that was another show. I was saying that.
No. My Two Dads had Greg Evigan, Paul Reiser, Stacey Keenan, who was the
right.
girl, and then a
show.
Young Giovanni Ribisi.
I don't remember him being in it.
I don't either. Because we never really watched it. Well, you watched the show. I didn't watch it. Number 7, Baby Bob.
Baby Bob?
Baby Bob. I think it was right on the coattails of Look Who's Talking.
Hmm.
02 to 03. Jolie Fisher, Adam Arkin, Holland Taylor, and Elliot Gould. I mean, it had a decent cast.
Yeah.
But
I was a little busy then.
Yeah, and the whole Look Who's Talking thing never really did it. The Talking Baby just doesn't.
Well, I liked the movie, but I didn't watch like the second movie and certainly didn't watch a TV show about it.
Yeah. No, there's something creepy about, you know, that dancing baby in those commercials wigged me out. Talking just doesn't work for me either. Mama's Family. Vicki Lawrence.
Yeah.
That had a pretty good cast too. It was on 83 to 84 on NBC. And then it was syndicated 86 to 90. I mean, that had a pretty good run, but.
We have Carol Burnett backing, you know.
Yeah, Carol Burnett was in it. Harvey Korman. Rue McClanahan. I think that was pre-Golden Girls, one of your favorite shows.
Yeah. Love that show.
Number 5.
I don't even live in Florida.
Number 5. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Cavemen. I'm surprised.
That was a spinoff from the commercial, right?
It was. Yeah. Believe it or not. It lasted 8 episodes.
Shocking it had that many episodes.
I'm shocked it's number 5. We're talking worst sitcoms ever. I'm surprised it's only number 5. Here's one I'd never heard of.
Okay.
From 1992. You know when they list your TV show in 1 year only? Not a good thing.
Okay.
Whoops. WOOPS! Exclamation point. Here, listen to this. Kids accidentally set off a nuclear missile and the Russians counterattack, leaving 6 people left on the planet. Whoops. Here's the thing.
Okay.
I have kind of 2 rules about predicting the future, right?
Mm-hmm.
First rule is never dress your child as a convict for Halloween, right? That's the first rule. Don't get them comfortable in the stripes.
Right.
Okay? Cuz that's just a bad omen.
Right.
And number 2, don't name your brand new TV show Whoops. And there's variations of that. Darn it. Oh, crap, this is going to suck.
Right.
You know, just certain names that you probably just shouldn't name your new television show. If you want it to succeed. I mean, if you want it to fail, then I think Whoops is a pretty good name. Yeah.
Whoops.
I didn't recognize anybody on the cast, by the way. Number three, a show that was on for 6 years that you actually watched. Yes, Dear.
I like that show.
I know you did, but it's number three on this list. And I agree with that because that show sucked. Anthony Clark is the star of that.
That was a funny show.
It just wasn't funny. How is it you go from I Love Lucy to Yes, Dear?
I'm not saying that they're both neck and neck. I like apples and oranges, and they're very different.
Okay. I
You're
guess.
You're welcome.
Number two, 96, 97, at least it has 2 years on the books, Homeboys in Outer Space.
Oh, my gosh.
It's no surprise, though. It was on the UPN network. Remember the UPN network?
I do. What is it called? Cowboys in Outer Space?
Homeboys.
Homeboys.
Homeboys in Outer Space.
Homeboys in Outer Space.
You should have just named it Whoops. Number one, 85 to 89, so a four-year run.
Mm-hmm.
Small Wonder.
I don't think I know what that one is.
Girl Who's a Robot.
Hmm.
She's dressed like in a red with a white something or other over it, I think. I never watched it. Small Wonder. But it was on for 4 years. And
somebody was watching it.
Yeah, actually, you'll find people that really dig that show. And see, I don't understand that. Like, I didn't watch any of these shows, so I'm perfectly okay with them being on this list. I don't know.
Well, even if you did watch the shows, you should be okay with them being on the list.
No, because I mean,
not
if
a
I
reflection
watch
of your taste.
No. If I watch the show, it's not going to show up on a worse sitcom.
Oh, too many crickets.
No, because you want to hear my favorite sitcoms. You want my list?
If I say no, you're going to read them anyway.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm going to go top five because from 10 to 6, I can't really hear. I'm just going to read you everything that I have that isn't in a numerical order because I can't figure out where to put it.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
What?
I mean, it makes sense for me.
Your frisbee, you throw it.
Okay. Mad About You.
Great show. We used to watch that together.
Night Court.
Oh, sure. Now you're stealing mine because I read you my list first.
I'm really not.
Whatever, dude.
I wasn't paying attention when you were saying your list.
I should always read my stuff first.
You did read your stuff first.
Which is why now you're stealing it.
Three's Company. You didn't have that on your list.
No, there's a reason I didn't have that on my list.
What?
Because Mr. Roper was the most annoying character on a sitcom earlier. Go ahead.
Who was Mr. Roper wasn't Don Knotts, right? That was Mr. Furley. I was a Mr. Furley fan anyway. Honeymooners.
Okay.
See, people are divided. People in this country are divided between two groups.
Uh-huh.
You're either Furleys or you're Ropers. You're Furleys or Ropers.
Okay.
You got your Furleys, you've got your Ropers.
Okay.
Hey, Andy. Thank you.
Okay.
Wings.
Wings, great show.
See?
Uh-huh.
And then Happy Days.
Yeah.
Right? So that's what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So that's 6. So, I mean, that's not really 10 okay. through 6 because there's a few more thrown in there for good measure. But here they are in order 5 to 1.
No, we have to hear the list again?
No, this is from 5 to 1. You just heard 6 items that took spaces 10 to 6.
Oh.
Am I confusing you?
Yeah, I thought those were your favorites.
No.
In random order. Now we're going to hear them in
those were,
top order.
Those were the bottom of the list in random order.
For corn's sake. See, there's a Fred Mertz line for you.
Number 5, Seinfeld.
Okay.
Number 4, Modern Family. Number 3, MASH. Number 2, I'll Be There for You. friends. Mm-hmm. And number one, I like to go where everybody knows my name. Cheers. Greatest sitcom ever.
So what you say.
I mean, it's just such a great show.
Yeah, it was a great show. I don't think it didn't make my list, but you know.
Give me your top five again.
I didn't research. Like top shows like that. I didn't research
top shows.
I just sat last night really quickly and off the top of my head wrote some shows.
Yeah, because if I had researched mm-hmm. top shows, Mad About You didn't show up on any of the lists that I saw. And in fact,
what does that tell you?
I only remembered about Mad About You because I was reading this PopCrunch.com list of worst sitcoms ever. And Paul Reiser's show My Two Dads was on there.
Mm.
And I thought, yeah, but I mean, he did Mad About You after My Two Dads, which was good. So.
Yeah. We used to watch that all the time.
It's a good show.
I thought so.
It's a good show for couples. You know? But anyway. Wasn't there something on there of the top 10 sitcoms of all time? Oh, see, I have one queued up. For the top 10 sitcoms of all time. And there's nothing in here that's really old. But this is based on people's votes. This is from a website called thetop10s.com.
No, and when I did look for, when I was looking for sitcom characters, and they were all like cartoons, because that apparently
right.
is what people are interested in now.
Yeah, I mean, Family Guy and Simpsons have been on for a long time. Simpsons
right.
has been on just ridiculous.
And what's the other one? There was a character, and I didn't know who he was, and you said you knew who he was.
Oh, American Dad, I think.
Yeah. I mean, that's a sad state of affairs, is that that's what people find entertaining.
Yeah.
That's what rounded out the top 10.
Yeah.
Is that 8 out of 10 were
cartoons. I agree
cartoons.
That those characters showing up on that list is kind of disheartening.
I mean, that there were 8 cartoons and 2 actual human beings. That's what it was.
Yeah, that is. I mean, because I Love Lucy was what, 56?
56 what?
1956 is when it came on?
51.
51? Okay.
Right.
So 60, 70 years of sitcom television?
65.
And
almost
we can't,
65.
And we can't come up with better characters than
Well, and I guarantee you
Stewie?
That they're not going to be playing, you know, Stewie's show 50 years from now.
I don't know. They might.
I doubt it. I'll do you my standard nickel bet. They won't be.
I don't know. They might. You just can't gauge what people are going to like. I mean.
They won't be playing that. They may be playing other stuff like it, but they won't be playing that.
We're still watching I Love Lucy.
Something I can throw at you. I've got a battery here on my side.
Well, you're all charged up, huh?
All right. So I had for my top favorite sitcoms, again, it was just off the top of my head last night. I Love Lucy was where it all began for me. And I used to watch that in the mornings before I went off to kindergarten. I mean, lay down in front of the TV and watch that before I went off to school, before the bus picked me up for school.
Was that in 51 when they were airing them?
I think it was. Right. First run, not rerun back then.
Nice industry term.
Yeah. Taxi.
Yeah. Taxi was a good show. You can't go wrong with Danny DeVito.
Never. I had Night Court. We talked about soap last night, which you said you had never seen an episode of soap.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to see if we can download maybe an episode of that.
I'm really not interested.
Great.
I mean, I like using soap.
Oh my gosh, you just don't know what you're missing.
I don't
say you do.
I don't know that I'm missing. I've spent my whole life, and I'm, 4 years old, and
okay.
I've been doing okay. I think my life has been pretty good.
Two words for you. Three words for you. Okay?
All right.
Harry Potter Marathon.
Harry Potter Marathon. See, that I can get on board with. I'm okay if you want to do that.
I already did that for you.
And you enjoyed the hell out of it.
And yet you won't even watch one lousy episode of soap.
You know what? You don't. That's not a road you want to go down.
The emphasis is not on lousy. The emphasis is on the sacrifice.
That's not a road you want to go down.
I sat and watched all of the Harry Potter movies.
And you enjoyed the hell out of them.
And you don't know that you won't enjoy soap.
Yeah, but you know, I sacrifice
all those movies marathon. For you.
I sacrifice so much.
Uh-huh. I'm gonna cut my arm off and beat you over the head with it. Okay, next. Friends, of course.
Right.
Love Friends. And that was nice because we could sit and watch it with the kids, enjoy it all.
Right.
Love it. Have all the episodes. Love, love, love that. You and I love Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
Love everything about that show.
Yeah.
Just love it.
Great. Well, not everything about it.
What do you like about Big Bang?
I mean, I can't stand Sheldon, but Big Bang Theory is one of my favorite shows. I'm just kidding.
Oh my God.
I read it in an article. Well, actually, I read it in the comment section of an article. Well, actually, I just made it up.
What do you like best about Big Bang?
It's written well. It's funny. Actually, Sheldon's one of my favorite parts about that show, only because he is so annoying and obnoxious, but they've done a great job of developing growth for that character. And you see that he's learning to be more human, if you will. And that's interesting to watch. But we were talking about this last night, is that, Friends for me, was a TV show that wasn't necessarily, I mean, it was the interaction of the six friends, but it was also Ross and Rachel's love story. And then later on, it was Chandler and Monica's love story. And that was interesting to watch. So Big Bang Theory is really Leonard and Penny's love story.
Right.
And then there's that challenging relationship of, Leonard and Penny are kind of the core of that show, and then Sheldon's the chaos, and so that's pretty interesting to watch. But I don't know quite yet that it falls on my. I could almost do without it, the show, because of my commitment issues with television, is that I'm not so compelled to watch it that if I never saw another episode, I'd be disappointed, you know. Like, I enjoy still watching past episodes of Friends. 10 years now later that they've been off the air? Because I think part of it's still relevant to my life. And it's still written very well. It's still very, very funny. But we're talking about this too, about like Modern Family. Friends had moments of poignancy about
right.
And even though Big Bang touches on that a little bit, to me, that's where it misses the mark. Cause we watched Two and a Half Men for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And that show really didn't have moments of poignancy at all. And I think it could have, and I think it would have been, cause it's funny. Big Bang Theory is written very, very well. And you get a lot of outward laughs in it. It's starting to become like with Howard's mom passing away, you're starting to get moments of development and growth where you're getting more of those touching moments. But only now, I mean, you very rarely get them in the earlier seasons. For like Friends, they had them throughout the whole seasons. And Modern Family does that great almost every single episode.
Right, they do.
Where you get really, you end the show on a really touching moment. And it's almost a lesson learned without it beating you over the head over. I prefer Modern Family much more than I prefer Big Bang Theory. For that reason, it's more relatable to me.
Well, that's the nice thing about Modern Family is that you laugh the whole time. And like I said, Lily is, she's the, her comedic timing is just unbelievable. You know, we've talked about like who our favorite characters are. And
right.
I always say Lily because every time they show her and I just can't wait to hear what comes out of her mouth next. But, you know, at the end of the show, they show whoever, you know, they zoom in on whoever's going to speak last. And then they deliver that message and it kind of sneaks up on you. Okay. They're going to give us some heartfelt lesson about what we just watched. And you kind of forget that's coming, you know, and you laugh and you really laugh. And then that comes and you're like, oh, okay. And it's not like it ends on a downer because it doesn't at all.
Right. Oh, I think just the opposite.
And, you know, the characters are all great. And what I was saying earlier is that the show is really relatable, whether that's the dynamic of your family or not, of those three families, whether, you know, for us, we're empty nesters and none of those families are empty nesters, but we can still relate to everything, you know, something that they're going on, that's going on within those families.
Right.
And I love that about that show.
Right.
And with Big Bang, you know, it's just, it's really funny. And I love how touching it is at times. And I love how just cerebral it is most of the time. And I love how goofy and silly it is at times.
Right.
And I love how the, you know, we were watching an episode the other day, how they were throwing out lines about, you know, did Raj say this about his girlfriend or
right.
his dog Cinnamon?
Right.
I mean, that whole episode, every time they would throw out one of those lines, I mean, that was just brilliant. It was just so funny. It's that kind of stuff that I just love about Big Bang.
Right.
You know, and it's difficult on that show for me to pick a character that I love, which is the way it was with Friends. You know, you could maybe relate to one of the Friends characters.
Right.
I'm most like this character, you know? So then because I'm most like that person, I can relate most to that person. So maybe I like that character the most. And maybe they give the best lines to this character, you know? This one gets the most laughs on this episode, or, you know, there's always two storylines going on with Friends, with the Friends episodes. And so, you know, this episode today, it's going to be, Joey's going to get the most laughs on this one storyline and Monica's going to get a lot of laughs in the second storyline. And it's going to be less heavy with Rachel today or whatever. But
that was kind of the thing that I thought was the great thing about that show is that, that I never really felt like, I never looked at that show and thought, okay, well, I most relate to that character because I'm most like that character. Mm-hmm. I think I related to all six of those characters because at one point or another, I was like all six of those characters.
At one point or another.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the beauty of it when a show has that long of a run.
Right. Well, and see, for me, I mean, anything goes back to relationships anyway, in that, you know, you can, the show has to be enjoyable to watch for the relationships between the people that are involved. It's not a matter of, like, I'm a huge Three Stooges fan, you know, but there's not a whole lot of character development in the Three Stooges. You know, you watch it for the yucks.
Right.
You watch it for the physical comedy.
Right.
But after a while, as much as I love the Stooges and can watch the Stooges, after a while, you've seen one Stooges episode, you've seen them all, you know? I mean, it's the same kind of, you know what's going to happen is that the three of them are going to start knocking each other around. They're going to fail at something until it all comes around at the end. And, you know, it's the Stooges.
Right.
I mean, it's not, it's funny as hell, but you're not watching it for the relationships. For me, any other TV, if I'm going to commit to it full time, it has to be for the relationships. I have to see. That's why I think Big Bang Theory is really good, in the sense that they're developing, I'm developing a relationship with Sheldon, but I'm also watching his relationship with Leonard evolve. That's the intriguing thing about it. There's funny bits in it, but there's also this really intriguing character development that, you know, if they threw just a ton of heart into that TV show, I think it would show up on more. Because right now, and all the research that I've done anyway in the past couple of days for top sitcoms, Big Bang's not showing up.
Well, and for me, it hasn't either. But the only, and I will say that the only shows that are showing up are shows that are not currently on the air. They're only on the air in syndication.
Okay. And for me, that just tells me that one of the reasons that is because there are shows that you still think about years after they're done, because they impacted you in a certain way. Because you had built a relationship with a TV show. That's why I still like Cheers, because of the relation, you know, for me, Cheers is a love story between Sam and Diane. And that relationship, and that was one of, I mean, I was just a kid when that was on, but I used to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And I recognized even back then that it was a love story between Sam and Diane. That's what makes that show so great. You know, that and Sam and Carla's relationship. You know, there's like, that's a love story in itself, it's a non-relationship love story, you know? So there's some really good storylines in there that you think about even coming, you know, 20, 30 years ago or after the fact that the show's over.
Right.
You know? So I think one of the reasons why these shows are still or are showing up on top lists is because we haven't really had time to really feel about the shows that are on now. Have we built a relationship with these people? You know, and how is that relationship? Because maybe we have, but how is that relationship going to impact us 5 or 10 years from now? Are we still going to be talking about these shows? They may be really good shows. You may really like Perfect Strangers, but you're not talking about it. It went off the air in 93. You're not talking about it 22 years after.
We were.
Well, we were because it was on a list.
Yeah.
So, is that it for lists? Are we done with the list?
Yeah. You have one, though.
I do?
Yeah. You had one that you were going to...
Oh, I had the top 10. This was based on...
What about Bosom Buddies? Did you used to watch Bosom Buddies?
I did.
That was a great sitcom.
Yeah. Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
And
Peter Scolari.
Peter Scolari. Peter Scolari was actually funnier in Newhart to me.
That was a great yeah. sitcom. And when that show ended, did you watch the last night I was searching for the top 10 you and I talked about it, the top 10 sitcom endings.
Right.
Season finales or whatever.
Right, season finales.
Right, and Newhart didn't show up, which surprised me because the season finale of the Newhart show, when it ended, instead of his wife being in bed with him,
Suzanne Bleshette
was in
right.
bed with him, which was just absolute writing genius.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't get better than that.
Yeah, well, see, and you were talking earlier about
And because I used to watch that show, right. I watched that. And
but you were talking about Ed O'Neill striking gold again with Modern Family. Mm-hmm. And look at Newhart.
Right.
I mean, he struck it gold.
With those two shows.
With those two shows, you know. And I never watched the Bob Newhart show. I only ever watched Newhart.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I loved Bob Newhart show. Okay, go ahead.
Real quick, we'll do top 10 best sitcoms of all time based on the top10s.com list. And this is a voting thing, so people vote for these. So we'll run down to number 10, Two and a Half Men. Number 10. I enjoyed it, you know. You know, when Charlie Sheen went batshit crazy, it was...
We went to the taping of that. It was good.
That will always have, that's why that show will always have a special place in my heart, is because you had surprised me with going to a taping of that, which was, shameless plug, right across the alley from where they filmed Scarecrow and Mrs. King, shameless plug. And it was nice to be back on the Warner Brothers lot after so many years. After having been on Scarecrow Mrs. King. Shameless plug. Number 9, Cheers. Number 9.
Don't yell at me. I didn't write the list.
That is a travesty. Number 9. Number 8, Modern Family. Quote, Phil Dunphy is the best character I've seen on TV in many years.
He's your favorite character.
He is my favorite character. A man who loves his family that much has got to be a good guy.
Yep.
Number 7, That 70s Show.
Yeah, see, I think I...
Is it Mila or is it Mila?
Mila.
Mila Kunis.
Mm-hmm. And I think I saw one episode. Just not my thing.
I've seen a couple episodes. It's all right.
It's okay.
Just wasn't really my thing. I think it's probably... Yeah, not really. Number 6, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I like Carlton, my favorite character.
Mm-hmm. I'm cool with anything Will does.
Yeah, I'm kind of, I love hate with Will Smith. I either love it or I hate it. There's no in between.
I don't think I've seen anything that I didn't like. You know, he and Jazzy Jeff are going on tour.
I know. That's going to be awesome.
We don't have to go, though.
I wouldn't mind going to that. I think it'd be good. I think it'd be interesting to see.
Somebody gave me tickets, but I don't need to spend money.
I get that. Number 5, How I Met Your Mother. That's actually a TV show I want to watch.
You've seen it many times.
I've seen episodes, but I'd like to watch
Nobody's
it.
Nobody's stopping you.
Wow. I'd like to see it start to finish, I think.
Okay.
You know, in one giant sitting, 10 years worth. I figure I can do it in a weekend.
Dude, have a good time.
I can do it.
You have TV commitment issues and you want to watch How I Met Your Mother all at one time.
Yeah, it would never happen. Number 4, your favorite show of all time, The Simpsons.
When that show first came on, I used to watch it.
Yeah. And I will say, I saw an episode not all that long ago, and the quality has definitely changed. It was very, very smart when it first came on.
That was before I became a parent and my priorities changed and my outlook changed.
But it was very, very, very intelligent, and it's gotten away from that a little bit, in my opinion. Is that your opinion? It's my opinion.
Yeah, is that your opinion?
Number 3, The Big Bang Theory. Yeah, see, that's the first time I've seen it show up on a best list. Number 2, Seinfeld.
Right up there where it belongs.
Yep. And number 1, Friends.
See, now the ones that are on my list made it up there.
Yep.
What do you know?
Well, I mean, you put the pop in pop culture. What can I say?
Okay.
Awkward silence. All right. Anything else?
Well,
I think that's probably good. I think we've beat a dead horse. Dead. Mr. Ed! Speaking of dead horses.
Did you watch Mr. Ed?
Heck yeah.
That was black and white. Doesn't that kind of go against what you believe in?
No. I'm not against black and white.
Hmm.
I like a lot of black and white. I'm against boring is what I'm against, which is a lot of what you watch. No, a horse is a horse, of course. Unless, of course, famous Mr. Ed. No, see,
I don't know where to go from here.
Black and white that I can't get on board with is like Beverly Hillbillies. Not entertaining. Because that's it's predictable, and if you've seen one episode, you've seen it all. We get it. They're hillbillies. They live in Beverly Hills. They have a lot of money. I understand the premise. Thank you. Move along now.
Okay. So you say that's predictable. You don't like it. And Lucy's predictable. You don't like it. But you love the Stooges, and you use the predictable word there, too. But you love that.
But what did I say? I can watch it and enjoy it for three guys slapping each other around because that's hilarious. I have an older brother. But after a while, then it just becomes too much. It's a break for it's slapstick for being slapstick. And that's funny. But you can't watch. I couldn't watch Stooges.
When did Christopher Walken get here?
What are you talking about?
Across the desk from Christopher Walken. What happened?
The shows I watch have been entertaining. That's why I watch them.
Don't get me wrong. I love the Stooges, too. I love Abbott and Costello. I love good quality slapstick. My point was you use that word to describe those three shows.
Right,
and
with
for
a caveat.
One, you make the exception.
Double standard. I'm allowed my double standards.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything.
Well, I've enjoyed it. It's been a good. We've had a good run.
See you in another year.
One show a year. This is episode number 37.
Is it really?
Yep. Yes, it is. So thanks for listening.
Did the guys with the briefcases from Deloitte & Touche have to come out here and tell us?
They did. They did indeed. They did indeed. Mm-hmm. Any last words?
Be good to each other.
Thanks. Catch you next time.